This episode is brought to you by Huggies Little Movers. Listen, Huggies knows that babies come in all shapes and sizes, and so do their tushies, especially when they start really moving. Huggies has more curves and outstanding active fit. So no matter what kind of mover you've got, they feel protected and comfy while their little tushy wiggles and jiggles all around. Huggies Little Movers has curves designed to fit all baby curves and helps provide up to 12-hour protection against leaks. So make the switch to Huggies Little Movers today. We got you, baby.
Check engine light on? Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free and provides a report with solutions based on over 650 million vehicle scans verified by ASE certified master technicians. And if you need help, we can recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
The secret to catching prize-worthy fish? Fishing like a local. Jonas Knox here with Fishing Booker. The valuable knowledge of a local guide can turn a fishing trip of no bites into the best catch of the day. Go to fishingbooker.com to discover thousands of local fishing charters from all around the world and create your perfect angling adventure with their easy-to-use online booking system. Visit fishingbooker.com and book your trip today. Fishing Booker. Fishing trips made easy.
This is the best of two pros and a cup of Joe with LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, and Jonas Knox on Fox Sports Radio.
How the hell are we feeling here on a Monday, BQ?
Just trying to take in the draft. I mean, it's there's so many interesting takeaways. Obviously, after free agency and after the draft, I think every fan out there has an idea of like where their team's at, their chance of winning a Super Bowl this year. Obviously a lot of time until the season starts, but I got to tell you, I kind of fed off some of your enthusiasm for the draft. It's such a cool event. It's such a neat experience even to go through it. But looking back on it now, just it's the most unique draft and event I think there is in professional sports, and no one does it better than the NFL.
It's
nobody.
Awesome. And yeah. And I think the final tally was just under 800,000 fans.
Dude,
showed up.
Gosh, that's amazing, man.
Dude, like, that's awesome. Because you really do combine the best of both worlds. If the NFL is king and college football is second, it's the one event where they're all together at the same time, and you kind of mix both those audiences in. But just the NFL's idea on moving this thing around and, you know, going from New York and all that. And I know, you know, you guys like the tradition of New York. I've always liked the draft because it just gave everybody hope that, like, all right, we may have sucked last year, but, you know, there's some hope here. And then just to see what it's turned into when we were in Vegas for the draft a couple of years ago, you've been to a bunch of drafts, and it just to be there and to see what it's turned into from all these years later. And it just gets bigger and better every single year. And then next year, if I'm not mistaken, it's Green Bay, correct?
Yeah,
I think it's in Green Bay next year. So yeah. that's going to be pretty wild as well, too. So good times to be had at the draft. I mean, look. I would appreciate it personally if we could just skip past the whole international fan of the year reading the picks for some of these guys. That part really bothers me.
Yeah.
It really bothers. It's like these guys are supposed to take in the moment, the biggest moment of their career, of their life. They've worked so hard to get up to this point. They're going to get their name called and get drafted. And it's some goofball wearing all team uniforms. Like they had a guy who was dressed up in suspenders with a cheese hat on because he was representing the Packers. Some guy from like London or someplace like that. You got like this other guy like representing the Bears, some slob. He comes out there and like a Jack Sanborn jersey, and he starts reading off the pick in the fourth round. We give them games. All right, they get their games. All right, they get a few a year. We just don't need these guys walking up there looking like dummies, you know, reading off these picks because they're half in the bag. I think it's a bit insulting, to be honest with you.
So you don't think that's part of them trying to, you know, spread the game internationally? I mean, that's part of their little, I don't know, trying to dig in to spread the game.
I mean, isn't them getting a game enough? Do we have to reward the fans by getting up there to read these picks? you know, like somebody's going to screw something up and then it turns into like some professional wrestling event where they're calling out the opposing fan base and this and that. It's like, dude, just let these guys enjoy their moment. Can we get somebody with some credibility up there to read these picks? That's all I'm saying. Yeah.
Okay. All right. That's how you feel about it. I think what's interesting is I've never actually asked an international fan that is a fan of the NFL, like, do you watch the draft? I mean, I think we all understand they're going to watch the Super Bowl. They might even attend the game that's over in London or overseas. That's over in Europe, right? But do you actually watch the draft?
Right.
I mean, that's the next step of really getting the intrigue of it. Because it's not like, as they would say, it's not like they watch university. You know, they're not watching college football mostly. Although college football is trying to, you know, create its footprint over there.
Yeah.
Clearly, we went to Ireland last year. Yeah. We saw that firsthand. Are we going back this year?
I don't know. You know, it
doesn't seem like there's given the hoops through the jump through last year, it doesn't seem like there's a lot of momentum of us going back this year.
It's either that or maybe we're not getting invited back. You know, we could have done some damage out there and maybe.
Hey, man, they'll save me some money. I didn't realize that damn bar. It was a great time, but it was buy a couple rounds there. It was a lot more expensive than I anticipated.
I do appreciate the fact that. If somebody offers you a beer at 10 in the morning and you say no, they look at you like you're the weirdo.
Yeah,
like,
you're the a-hole.
I do appreciate that like you're the one who's got the issue, not me having a beer or my second beer at 10 in the morning. It's you who's got the problem. It's like, okay, well, I mean, it's 2 o'clock in the morning back home. You know, it's not exactly the time I want to have a Guinness, but you know, you have fun and you tear it up a little bit. I do, when it comes to the draft and just sort of you kind of pointed this out, it did feel like there's not as many guys going to the draft. Like it did feel like there wasn't, the green room wasn't as packed. It wasn't. And I'm just wondering, with it being in Green Bay next year, is this going to, I mean, are we going to see the numbers dwindle even more? Like maybe these places aren't quote unquote cool enough for some of these players to go get drafted there. Because if you're the guy getting drafted by the team hosting the draft, it's awesome. It's awesome. Yeah. Like Arnold for Alabama, who went and got drafted by the Lions in the first round. That was awesome. So if you're one of these guys that gets drafted by the Packers next year, they're going to roll out the red carpet and you're going to be celebrated unlike anybody else.
So let's just talk about the quarterbacks, because we had 6 go in the top 12 picks. And if I'm not mistaken, were the top 3 all at the draft?
Yes.
Caleb Williams obviously was.
Yes.
I believe Jaden Daniels was.
And Drake May was. Yeah.
And I think that has a lot to do with the fact that we anticipated all 3 of those going 1, 2, 3. You know, if you look at how the draft, even back when I'd went, you know, there was 5 of us, and I hadn't met with a team outside the top 10. And obviously all those guys went inside the top 7. So that was kind of the mold or model, if you will, is they anticipated having, you know, a group of guys they all thought were going in the top 10. And I think if you look at the quarterbacks, for example, Michael Penix Jr., who ended up going to 8, probably the biggest surprise of the draft. J.J. McCarthy, who ends up going, 10th, I think. Right? The Jets traded out of that spot. And then you had the Broncos who took Bo Nix. All 3 were somewhere else. And the reason being is there was speculation, wild speculation, over where any of them would go. So I think that lends a little bit of an understanding to being someone who's been there and who's gone through sitting in the green room and having to wait, having a camera on you, is when you do fall, like that's what you sign up for. You sign up for the exposure to, they're going to talk about it. They're going to put you on camera. It's one of the storylines. You know, for this year, maybe it wasn't quite as big of a storyline, because if Michael Penix or Bo Nix or maybe J.J. McCarthy, if he would have dropped further than where he went, maybe people would have made a bigger story about it. But none of that really happened this year. I mean, the one that I think was most surprising to me was Spencer Rattler, who I didn't think he was going to be a first-round pick. I thought he maybe could be a second, third-round pick. The fact that he dropped to where he did was what was really surprising, to be taken in the 5th round. That was somewhat shocking. Given his talent level and what he put on tape, I did not think he'd go that late in the draft. So it lends you a little bit of an understanding of this is a big deal. It's a big event, and no one wants to be that guy. Some of the guys are concerned or scared of being put in a position where they may be criticized, may be on camera a lot. And that's their own prerogative, right? It's their own opportunity to do it. At the end of the day, you're just blessed to be able to have a chance to get drafted in the NFL and go play a game for your first true professional job, right? Not like the Bogey Inn or Hollister or Embassy Suites back in the day, some of my former employers before I actually got in the NFL.
Yeah, man, you working at a Hollister is just a wonderful tale. Like, that really is something. Did you get any free, like, clothes or outfits or anything like that? They give you a discount?
No, you get a discount, but that's the thing is you quickly realize after the first time when you buy, because you have to wear their clothes when you work there, they give you this really big discount. And then you realize, like, my entire paycheck just went to what I'm wearing at work. Like, it's just because you turn right back around and buy that stuff.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
No, it was a terrible idea.
On the Spencer Rattler stuff, how about the crap that came out? And Ian Rappaport couldn't even, I think, understand it himself, that the reason the thought was that he would drop as far as he was, because we were talking on Friday and the Raiders were picking at 44 in the second round. And we were thinking, okay, that could be a landing spot. I think it was one of our over-unders as well, too, as to where he went. So to drop all the way down, Ian Rappaport said that he talked to a number of NFL teams, and they said the way that he was depicted and the way that he came across on the QB1 show from Netflix was part of the reason why teams wanted to potentially steer clear of him. That came out when he was 17. It was 6 years ago, and teams didn't like the way he was portrayed in QB1, and that's part of the reason why he dropped. What are we doing here?
It's obviously odd that a team, you know, you'd think that they do their due diligence to look at the player, look at who he is now.
17.
I do wonder if that was a convenient excuse, and maybe some of the teams that did do some of the work on him felt like there was still some of that at Oklahoma, felt like there was still some of that at South Carolina. It's hard to ultimately know. Obviously, that's, you know, their own team's prerogative, but that's a learning lesson, I think, for a lot of young men out there. Is everything you do is being monitored. They look at the tweets, I think they said, from these kids up through junior high. And as much as we were scrutinized teams for that being something that made them hesitant of, you know, drafting Spencer Rattler, the second they draft Spencer Rattler and that clip comes out, the team, the coach, the general manager, they're have to talk about it. Like, that stuff's out there publicly. So that's what you're drafting when you draft him, is even though we say, oh, it's 6 years ago, is when he was 17, he's grown up, he's matured a lot since then, they're still going to have to answer for it. As much as, like, we want to fault the NFL evaluators, you know, and the front office execs and people who might have said this, we're also part of the reason for that. Like, we're just as much to blame for how we are as a society, because we bring that stuff back up. There's a never-ending search of it. So, again, I hated it for him because, again, I thought he was a really talented player, and I still think he's in a great spot if he gets his opportunity in New Orleans to see what that might look like. But these teams will comb through every little piece of information they can to try to reduce their risk of bringing in a guy that was portrayed in not a great light. And, you know, that was his choice. He was on that show, and again, I know he's grown up a lot since then, but maybe they feel like there was some of that
during
his time at Oklahoma and some of that South Carolina. We don't know what they found out. We can only speculate at this point, but it's tough for these young men to live in an era where everything you do is now scrutinized from the time you're 16, 17, moving on.
Isn't that part of the reason why you shouldn't do a reality show? Like,
that's one of the biggest. That's why the quarterbacks want to sign up for it in the Netflix series.
I would want no part of that. Like, listen, you're a celebrity. All right. Brady Quinn's a celebrity. All right. Your wife is an Olympian, the great Alicia Sacramone. Like, I mean, you guys are tailor made to be a reality show. But no, not interested. Rather keep some of this stuff private and not have a camera follow you around. And by the way, a lot of these reality shows and the people behind the reality shows, doesn't it always end up turning into disaster? Like, oh, somebody's always got that something on you. Like, I don't know what the divorce rate or the breakup rate is on some of these reality show couples and marriages that go on television and have cameras follow them around. But it is a disaster. And Spencer Rattler just had to wait an extra day and a half because the way he was depicted when he was a teenager on a Netflix show. kind of wild, man. Like the background checks that they've done, but away we go. What would it cost? Like, how much, if somebody offered you a certain amount, what would be your number to do a reality show?
I don't know if there's a price. I mean, honestly, like, it's just you wouldn't want, I mean, you'd have to have full control of editing, like all those things that, you know, no one would ever give up. You know, most of these people who do these reality TV shows, they want the final say so they can create the storylines, they can create the drama. And that's why it would just never work. I do sometimes feel like it would be beneficial to pay for a camera crew to follow my family only so we could be like, whoa, pause. All right, let's go back and watch this on replay.
Okay.
And then you actually like talk all through right. a scenario or like an argument or fight. And you're like, you know, you said I said this. No, I didn't. And you're like, no, pause. All right, let's go to the camera crew. And we go right back.
Let's go to the telestrator.
We break it back down. You're like, all right, see when you said this. Yep. Now, I'm going to fast forward a little bit here. Okay, stop. This is where you made this face. And this is where I was then like, oh, that's what, okay. Because it means something different when you say it and you say it with that face right. and with that attitude, right? And that's what really triggered me to then start arguing with you. It's, I don't know. That would be, I think, the most useful part of having a camera following you around is you could literally be able to kind of pick apart your life like that eye in the sky, like you do in football.
And draw it out on the screen, like show yeah. with arrows and circles, and this yeah. is where it happened.
Literally have the whole team, me in the family room, have like a chalkboard up there and be like, all right, here's where we need to get better. Let's go back on the tape now.
That is a good
Hit
move.
Hit the lights.
That is a good move.
Be sure to catch live editions of Two Pros and a Cup of Joe with Brady Quinn, LeVar Arrington, and Jonas Knox weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, this is Tom Verducci from Fox Sports, MLB Network, and Sports Illustrated.
And I'm Joe Madden, and we're going to be around to talk a little bit about managerial decisions and what may have occurred in the dugout, maybe in the 1980s.
It's the Book of Joe podcast. I can't wait for this, Joe. We're going to dive into what goes on in the dugout and behind the scenes in Major League Baseball.
Cars, wine, whatever else we want to talk about.
Yeah, well, there are no boundaries, right? Listen to the Book of Joe podcast on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Huggies Little Movers. Listen, Huggies knows that babies come in all shapes and sizes, and so do their tushies, especially when they start really moving. Huggies has more curves and outstanding active fit, so no matter what kind of mover you've got, they feel protected and comfy while their little tushy wiggles and jiggles all around. Huggies Little Movers has curves designed to fit all baby curves and helps provide up to 12-hour protection against leaks. So make the switch to Huggies Little Movers today. We got you, baby.
Hey, it's Jonas Knox. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Come on, you know it. O'Reilly, who are in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offer friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you find just the right battery for your vehicle. Don't ignore your check engine light. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today, a free diagnostic service exclusively at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fix, or a quick service? They'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto. Do it yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/2pros. That's O'ReillyAuto.com/2pros.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
So we've been kind of speculating, not if, but when the NFL was going to get to an 18-game season. We're sitting at 17 now, and it was only a matter of time. Roger Goodell was on the Pat McAfee Show starring A.J. Hawk on Friday, which, by the way, the Kentucky Derby's coming up this weekend. It's a damn shame we can't have our Kentucky Derby insider A.J. Hawk join us on the show to kind of break down the Kentucky Derby.
I'm not necessarily sure that we can't. I could try reaching out and seeing if it's possible.
I mean, we got to make that happen.
The problem is, I don't know when he's going to call. The Derby's on Saturday. Our show stops Friday.
Yeah.
So you want like a Monday recap? Plus, I'm not even on Friday this week. But
yeah, how would we work this thing? I mean, yeah, because he's not great at really giving predictions. It's more a recap of the event and the drinking and partying that goes on at the event. And also how much they're gambling.
Right. So Monday.
Yeah, I mean, Monday could work. I'm not trying to. We don't want to get him in trouble, though. Like, if it's going to be a problem, you know, we don't want to cause those problems. But, you know, he was ours first. I mean, before he was on the Pat McAfee show, he was doing, you know, horse racing and Kentucky Derby recaps. So we'll get to see. We're going to effort that and see what.
Technically, I think that started like while they were Pat and him are working together. So
really,
it was still part of the Pat McAfee show, just not as we know it today.
Huh. I didn't know they'd work together that long. Well,
yeah, they actually worked together back when I believe it was a Barstool show.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so then, yeah, that seems to make sense. All right, well, whatever. Listen, he was ours on Fox Sports Radio first, Brady Quinn and I, when we did the Sunday night show. So we'll see if we can line that up. But point is, Roger Goodell was talking with Pat, with AJ and the guys at the draft on Friday in Detroit and had some things to say about the potential of the regular season expanding and also the potential of the Super Bowl being on President's Day weekend.
Well, I think we're good at 17 now, but listen, we're looking at how we continue. I'm not a fan of the preseason. I'd rather replace a preseason game with a regular season any day. That's just picking quality, right? So if we got to 18-2, that's not an unreasonable thing. The other thing it does, which I thought you were going to, is that ends up on President's Day weekend, which is a three-day weekend, which makes a Sunday night, and then you have Monday off.
I love how he's got to work that in with the live crowd behind him. You know, he's got to let everybody know, like, hey, I'm on your side, guys. This is how it works. Yeah.
It's he doesn't
like,
get many cheers.
The other thing, too, that I thought was kind of funny is that you'll get the, you know, we care about player safety. We're going to add a regular season game. But don't worry, we're going to take one off the preseason. It's like, well, like how many snaps do starters actually get in preseason games now? Like some of these guys don't play at all.
Yeah.
So you're still going to run into that. And I just wonder, you know, how much pushback there's going to be from the PA or if they've got enough, you know, if they're actually going to stand their ground this time and let it pass. I think last time it passed, it was like 51%. It was a narrow margin to get to 17 games and players were upset about it. I wonder what this means for 18 for those guys.
Well, the problem is again, they allowed this footing to take place in the CBA. And typically when the owners want something, which an additional regular season game equates to more revenue for the league, and the owners will say back, or Roger Goodell will say back, well, hey, that's, you know, that's revenue that we're splitting with you guys, the players, so it's good for everyone. The problem is the players, obviously, it's an additional game, additional chance of getting injured. Now you might be able to say, well, that's also a different additional chance to earn incentives and things of that nature. I'm sure those are going to shift, though, where they're going to make it more difficult for them to earn, you know, certain incentives, right? A certain numbers. And that's one of the reasons why you always see play time. Like you see percentages, right? So if it's a 16-game season, 17-game season, 18-game season, you've got to play, what, 51% of the snaps or, you know, 70-some percent of the snaps in order to earn that incentive. And that's one of the reasons why they put in the contract that way, because they don't want to have it set to, oh, you need to play X amount of games, X amount of plays, right? Since that can fluctuate. So it's more of the frustration, I think, from players that they have to put themselves out there for an additional game, and the owners really receive the majority of the benefit of that, and there's no way the players can recoup anything other than saying, we don't like this, we're not going to play, we're going to strike until you guys figure out something else that we want and you got to give us since you want these 18 games. Because the other thing for players, and one of the reasons why the NFLPA tries to protect the at least two preseason games in this case is it's to showcase guys who haven't played to make the roster. You know, there's a lot of opportunities for guys who get drafted or get signed as free agents and come in or are trying to make the roster. And those preseason games are invaluable for experience, but also for making the roster. And if those guys don't have those or they cut down those opportunities, you only got two instead of maybe three games, it can be somewhat difficult. when you're trying to figure out, you know, which guys could make that back end of it. You know, it's not as, you know, presumed to the rosters. Everyone thinks like, oh, well, these are the guys you're going to take just because they're contracts. That's not always the case. You got some guys who really show out in the preseason once the lights turn on, and that makes the difference of them making the roster. So I think there needs to be at least two. That's probably the minimum.
Yeah.
But are the players going to get another bye? Are they going to get any additional time off to rest their bodies? Are they just going to plow through the rest of the 18-game season with only one bye and maybe you get, you know, an additional time off after a short week on a Thursday night?
And look, I know the preseason, like, people will look at it and go, well, you know, the games aren't, you know, they don't matter. It's exhibition. You know, fans don't even care. It's like, well, not everything has to be about whether or not fans care. Like, you know, like, fans, you know, probably aren't watching, you know, all of OTAs or aren't in attendance for a lot of these things in the offseason. It doesn't mean there's not important and there's no value. Value in them. And I look at it and I go, I hope we never get to a point to where somebody's pounding the table to get rid of them altogether and just say, no, just skip pass and go straight to the season. They can do it in college football. Why can't you do it in the NFL? There's something to it. And I know a lot of people aren't fans of it or maybe don't like it. I like the preseason. I like watching, you know, certain guys that you maybe followed in college that are going to get a couple of snaps or a couple of reps here or there. And also, if you're one of these guys and you do get in a preseason game, if you never made an NFL roster and played in a regular season game, to me, that still matters. Like, to be able to be out there in an NFL stadium and to be able to compete, like, you're still in rarefied air. I hope, like, the entire value of the preseason doesn't get lost with people going to the, yeah, but fans don't care about it. It's exhibition football. You know, they're not even painting the stadiums half the time. The stadiums aren't full. Not everything's got to be about the show and about the fans. They get enough, like, they're getting 18 regular season games. They've got the playoffs. They've got the draft. They've got all that stuff. Not everything has to be marketed to just the fans. And I feel like sometimes people try and make that argument.
To your point, too, about even just the opportunities to be there in the preseason for players, and that might be their only mark, or that might be the only reps they get in their career. But more so, just talking about quarterbacks, oftentimes that backup, the only live reps he's getting are those two preseason games. And so how much are you really preparing that backup to go in and try to win some games for your team if you keep cutting down on some of those live reps? You know, I'm not saying it makes a world of difference, but it makes a difference giving those guys some live game experience before they actually go into the regular season. There's different speeds. And going from training camp and practice or even in joint practices, it's not the same speed as what you're going to see then once you go into a preseason game. And once you go to a preseason game, it ramps up a little bit in the regular season. So to not make it such a big jump, especially for young quarterbacks in a league that, you know, obviously feeds off young quarterbacks from college football all the time, whether as starters or as backups, it would behoove of the NFL to remember this. There's still development going on. I know it's all about money. That's all people care about anymore is money, money, money.
They got it.
But when you have a crappy product,
right?
Because the most important position, you don't put in the things necessary to help them develop or help them get live reps, it's going to end up being unwatchable at times. And the offense's scoring has been down. Quarterback play, a lot of people would challenge. I mean, Tom Brady said this, you know, recently. Like, they're just not taught how to play the game of football like it needs to be played at the next level. A lot of these young men aren't being taught in fronts. They're not being taught, you know, how to read coverage and hey, what concepts works against different coverages. How do you beat stacks? How do you beat bunches? Like, these are not concepts that you're hearing college teams talk about. That's not the type of system and style they're running there. So if you want to protect your product, you want to protect the game, you're going to have to remember there needs to be time to teach these young men who are coming to the NFL how to play the NFL game, which is different than college.
And also, when people complain about the quality of play, and you mentioned the offense is being down, but that, like, we always have these discussions early on in the season, man, tackling was bad, this was bad, that was bad. Well, yeah, that's a result of guys aren't out there. Like, they're not, right. They're not getting any action. They're not in these games. Like, they're practicing, but it's not the same. So at least, you know, we're still going to maintain the two games if we get to the 18-game regular season. Now, the Super Bowl on President's Day weekend, that is a no-brainer. All right, that has to happen. I would also say you know, if you're one of these fans who still shows up to work on Monday because you didn't plan in advance, you know, some sort of a vasectomy or a quinceañera or, you know, surprise birthday, maybe a death in the family that you can kind of, you know, look into the future and say, all right, then I'm going to pencil that in. That'll be my go-to. Whatever it is, if you're not already getting the Monday after the Super Bowl off, you got problems, but at least the NFL is going to save the day and potentially throw the Super Bowl on President's Day weekend. Not that it matters to us. We're still going to be doing the show, and we still got to be here at work because we're grinding away doing sports talk radio. But for fans, at least, this is going to give them their day off. Or you just move the Super Bowl to Saturday, and we don't have to worry about any of this stuff.
I know. You have pushed for that.
I just think there's something there.
There is something there. I won't argue against it because it would be nice to have that next day hangover. I'm sure Lee and some others out there would join in that thought.
Oh, yeah.
But I look at it and I think they're just trying to eat up the entire calendar. And that's the reality of it. They're trying to make every single week kind of blend into the next, where if you keep pushing it back further into February, think about what's on the other side of that. The start of the new league year in free agency.
Right.
So you really don't have any sort of letdown. It rolls right from the Super Bowl, the biggest event. You catch your breath, but you already start getting the conversations about roster building and free agents and the next year.
The combine's last week of February, right? That's when it starts.
Yeah, excuse me. So, which is where a lot of those rumors and things come from. So, but to your point, to that point, you literally turn it over. Like, then we start focusing on college. Then we start focusing on the future.
A week and a half, and they're showing up to Indianapolis for the combine.
That's another reason, though, why I think you're going to see teams that play in the Super Bowl not even attend the combine. You know, not if they don't have to. So,
Listen, now we're going to get all the speculation and the potential of this stuff happening. I do wonder how soon until it happens before the NFL pulls the trigger. Because as we said at the start, it was only a matter of when, not if, that this was going to happen. They were going to expand the season. I just wonder how far away we're looking at that.
And here's the dirty truth about how they get the 18 games. It's going to increase the revenue. Because it's going to increase the money coming from TV. At least we would assume so. And what that does is it increases the salary cap. And it increases salary cap and more salary cap space for the top 1 or 2%. And the top 1 or 2% are the guys who oftentimes are lobbying their team. They're representing the team amongst the union because they want to get these deals through. You know, usually the top paid guys end up being representatives of teams for the NFL Players Union because they're untouchable, right? There's always this thought that if you were a union rep and you're the guy out there at practice monitoring things, making sure that you know the coaching staff or this particular organization is not pulling one over or doing something illegal within the CBA, and you get a column on that, but you're a guy who doesn't have many guarantees in his contract, you're concerned that you could be a casualty due to it. So it's usually the top 1% or 2% that will push for it, too, because they're also incentivized. Because the next time their contract's up, they're going to be the guy cashing in on it.
Good. Good for them. See, that's why you got to aim to be a top 1% or 2%, right? Don't settle for the middle of the pack crap. Be a 1% or 2% guy, right? That's the moral of the story here.
Be sure to catch live editions of Two Pros and a Cup of Joe with Brady Quinn, LeVar Arrington, and Jonas Knox weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern. 3 a.m. Pacific.
This episode is brought to you by Huggies Little Movers. Listen, Huggies knows that babies come in all shapes and sizes, and so do their tushies, especially when they start really moving. Huggies has more curves and outstanding active fit, so no matter what kind of mover you've got, they feel protected and comfy while their little tushy wiggles and jiggles all around. Huggies Little Movers has curves designed to fit all baby curves and helps provide up to 12-hour protection against leaks. So make the switch to Huggies Little Movers today. We got you, baby.
Hey, it's Jonas Knox. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Come on, you know it. O'Reilly, who are in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offer friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you find just the right battery for your vehicle. Don't ignore your check engine light. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today, a free diagnostic service exclusively at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fix, or a quick service? They'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto. Do it yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/2pros. That's O'ReillyAuto.com/2pros.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
So, Newt Rockne died in 1931, and over the weekend, they've decided to move his grave, exhume the body, or exhume the casket, I'm assuming, not the actual body, but take the casket, everything inside the casket, and they're going to rebury it at the University of Notre Dame. That's what's going on there.
Yeah, I mean, I saw the same thing you saw. I just
wonder why now.
Yeah.
But hey, listen, I mean, that's where it should be. Then that's where it should be. You know, it's a family decision. But yeah, I was not expecting to see that as one
Trust
of the
me, I wasn't either this morning. It almost makes me wonder, and I don't know if this is a thing or not. Maybe everyone else can pitch in and help answer this question. Do people still do April Fool's joke at the end of the month?
I don't know.
Or is it only like an April 1, April 2, or 3 type thing?
Yeah, I don't think bad jokes get an entire month. I think they just get one day. And then after that, it's over.
Okay.
Lee, you got any?
Just the first. Yeah.
It is just
the first. It's just the first. And so if you tell a April Fool's joke in the second or third, you're going to be chastised for it?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Then you're just a bad comedian.
Yeah. Bad comedian.
So, all right, so there, I mean, look, is what it is, man. You know, go Irish, and Newt Rockne is now going to be at the university, and they'll get that done, and, you know, away we go with that. By the way, I did promise you a little bit of intel on Lee. So he told me I don't want to name the place because, you know, I don't want to air him out too bad, but he told me one of the places that he frequents when he's going to get a couple of throat burners, you know, whenever he decides to get out and go have a little bit of fun. And so I went and looked up a place because I've never been at this place. I've never seen it. I don't know anything about it. And man, what a dump. My God. How the hell are you? First of all, have you been to this place during the daytime?
Every Wednesday.
God, that's depressing.
Wednesday deliveries. Yeah, it's super dark in there. God. Keep the doors shut.
I mean, I could smell the place through the computer.
It's very
like
sticky.
Looking up pictures. It's sticky. Like, it looks like one of those dingy. Like, if you ever get depressed when, like, if you're in Las Vegas, like, you open up the curtains and you see the strip during the daytime. And it's like all the lights are gone and it's just a desert with a bunch of buildings and it's filled with sin and drugs and gambling and hookers.
Yep.
And, you know, all the other good stuff
what
that
are we
Vegas provides.
About?
I'm just saying, but like you open up the curtains and you look at all that during the daytime and you go, God, I'm depressed. I looked at this place. There were some daytime shots of the place Lee frequents during the day. What a miserable spot to be, Lee.
Well, it definitely is not open during the day, thank goodness. Does not see the light of day. It's one of those thin, you know, narrow bars, which always is more depressing, I feel.
And you still go.
Because you got to get close to the bar. You don't want to. Can't have too many steps back and forth.
God forbid. I mean, but you're still going.
You know, I hated the bar for a long time, even when Todd worked there. But it grew on me. I became a regular. I know all the regulars, obviously.
Yeah.
So. And it's a little home away from home.
Yeah. So there's a little.
My dives.
Yeah. A little digging into where Lee frequents as we live vicariously through Lee here at Fox Sports Radio. All right. So that being said, we transition smoothly over to the NFL draft. And somebody had a little bit of a red ass over the weekend. And that somebody was Colts general manager Chris Ballard, who was defending the selection of Texas wide receiver Adonai Mitchell, who fell to the second round. The Colts nabbed him. And then Chris Ballard was asked about, you know, some of the reports that maybe Adonai Mitchell was difficult to assess in the interview process and maybe did an interview well with certain teams. And here was the Colts GM response.
I mean, I read some of the that was said on TV. I mean, just the typical, excuse my language, our typical league, unnamed sources, you know, bad interview. That's such bull. I mean, it is. It's bull. Like, put your name on it. We tear these young men down. These are 21, 22 young men. And if people out there can tell me they're perfect in their lives, it's crap. It's crap. This is a good kid. And, you know, for those reports to come out, like, you know, I said it last year. It's bull. I'm sorry. I apologize for the language. I don't, but I do.
I don't, but I do.
By the way, he's got a little Chip Gaines to him. Reminds me of Chip Gaines with his hair grown out.
Yeah, I can see that
going on.
I do tend to relate to the frustration of, in this process, the person who ultimately takes the biggest beating is the player. And it's odd, man. It really is. When you transition from the college season to the NFL season, it becomes so negative. It's so negative, the entire process. It's all about what these players can't do anymore, what their flaws are, what the weaknesses are. And some people might say that's fine. It's a profession now. You know, that's what you're doing. You're trying to project these guys. You got to know the good and bad. I understand that. But what a lot of people on the outside don't understand is that what makes it to the actual media comes from agents, competing agents with other players trying to prop up, boost up their player versus another. That's where all this information goes and gets out from. You talk to coaches, you talk to players, people you know, they're not telling you anything they're doing. They're just not. They're not. Not until maybe if you're an insider, you're you know, talking night before the draft, you know, a couple days before the draft, something like that. But all this negative stuff you hear, it usually comes from agents. It usually comes from people who, oh, I heard this, or I'm hearing this. Like, there's not a ton of validity to it. I mean, in regards to A.D. Mitchell and what was supposedly said, you know, I don't know if it was character concerns or however they described it, but I don't know, he's diabetic. Maybe there's some issues with managing that sometimes, but you know, it's just, it always gets overblown and sensationalized, and usually because someone has a prerogative. They're trying to prop up their receiver versus this receiver. So it's, look, for the Colts, it's an awesome pick because now they get A.D. Mitchell, they got Michael Pittman, and that's a hell of a 1-2 punch for Anthony Richardson, who obviously didn't play much his rookie year, but he gets that now in year two in Shane Steichen's offense. That's huge. And it gives an opportunity for A.D. Mitchell to not necessarily have to go in right away to be the guy, where he wasn't really that at Texas. You know, Xavier Worthy had more targets, more production. A.D. Mitchell had more touchdowns, a little bigger body, easier to high point him and isolate him in the red zone. But he doesn't have to go into Indianapolis and be that guy. He gets to develop into that. You know, if you're Keon Coleman, on the other hand, who in Buffalo is going to go in and be the guy, that's a much heavier burden to carry in a way. You know, he's going to have to be able to, you know, beat the best cornerback, beat double coverage in the NFL in his rookie season, if he even warrants that. So I hate that part of the process. Yeah. That's the truth behind how all this stuff goes on. But at least it'll be a good pickup for the Colts, and I think A.D. Mitchell will fit in well there.
It's also the idea that, because I was trying to find, look, was there an off-field issue? Did he, you know, was there, like, I can understand, like, last year, you know, Jalen Carter went through that. But listen, I mean, people lost their lives. There was some stuff he was being questioned on. Like, I can understand, we got to find out more about the guy. But the more I looked into this, it was like, well, you know, he didn't interview well. Like, he, you know, the interview process was rough. And it's like, all right, well, let's just say that's what it is. I mean, I don't know about you, but I've had bad job interviews before. Like, I can remember one specifically, I talked to a radio station and completely bombed. Like, I don't know. It was a bad interview. I performed poorly that day. But it's like, there's no grace period. There's no sort of, all right, well, listen, you know, give it another shot. We can understand it. Instead, it's just, all right, that's our one time we got to talk to him, and we're going to let that be our lasting impression. All right, so what about off the field stuff? Well, there's none of that. It's just, you know, he didn't interview well. Well, maybe he doesn't interview well or talk well in front of people. Like, not everybody's got a great personality and comes across great. It just feels like, to your point, you're trying to find something wrong so that you can just eliminate guys, as opposed to focusing on all the great things they do. And he could be a great player with all the skill set and talent in the world. He could be a really good dude with no priors or anything like that. But what's wrong with him? Like, let's find something wrong so we can eliminate him from the process and just make it easier on ourselves. Because, yeah, you don't know if you like somebody, but you definitely know if you don't like him. And that's what it feels like goes on here. And seeing Chris Ballard get fired up about it, I will say this. If you're Chris Ballard and you go that hard in the paint for a guy you drafted, all right, you better hope that you're right, you know, because some people are going to remember that and say, all right, this is the guy you defended and he's an a-hole, if that's what it turns out to be. But hopefully it works out well for him and he's, you know, in a pretty good spot there in Indianapolis. But it's good to see Chris Ballard with the Chip Gaines look defending his guy.
A little red ass, too, yeah. To him, you know.
It's nice to
I
see.
Do appreciate a good red ass.
By the way, I didn't really, he's a big dude.
Yeah.
Like he looks like he could throw it around a little bit. Like, gets in the weight room and, you know, kind of lets it, you know, what are we thinking? Like, 2 plates minimum just for warm up? You know, probably going, 225.
What exercise are we talking about?
Bench. Come on, bench. Oh. You know, the only one that matters.
Yeah, probably. Probably warming up with a little 225 and then going up from there.
Yeah. So, I mean, the combine's in Indy. And, you know, Jim Irsay used to like to work out with Ryan Grigson. So maybe that was like the prerequisite. If you wanted to be the GM of the Colts, you got to be throwing iron around. You know,
if that bar ain't bending, you just pretend it. Is that what you're saying?
All right. That's my philosophy. If that bar ain't bending, you just pretend it. You know, that's how we do it in Dublin. And if you think differently, you can kiss our ass. Ain't that
I can
right.
promise you this. It's a Monday morning, April 29th. The boys there at Dublin Kaufman High School, they're already getting after it.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah. Coach Stokes, he's got them rolling. He's got them going.
Now, what are they – do they get any sort of protein drink afterwards? Is it that high level like you're in college? Or
it's just in the water, man. They just drink the water.
Oh,
there.
Yeah. Water's just full of ribeye. And
that water. Yeah. They're in Dublin. I'm not sure where you're from, what it's like in Thousand Oaks, you know?
I mean – the mean streets.
Probably makes you soft.
The 805. What are you talking about? Like, people, when people think Dublin Kaufman High, they go, what is Dublin?
The funny
West?
Thing is, go, Lee's Thousand. Water source seems to be Evan Williams or some sort of Jack Daniels. Yeah.
Now, hold on.
Lee's like that guy I've read the story about that his stomach just naturally and takes carbohydrates, turns it into alcohol.
Yeah. My water source is soda water for my ranch water, my tequila and soda water, or gin and soda.
If ranch you had to pick water. One drink of choice, Lee, what would it be?
Gin and soda. Gin and tonic.
Like, I mean, not water.
Oh.
Not like,
you mean like
coffee.
In general?
Not,
like,
yeah, you have one drink to drink the rest of your life.
I don't know. G&T's pretty high up there.
Is that usually how you start off the night?
Are you saying that I have to choose between water and alcohol?
By the way, G&T and a gin and soda, to me, are very different tasting.
They can be, yes, they are. It's mostly, well, you're getting mostly the tonic. You're getting mostly the sweet if you're doing a G&T. But that's why I like the soda water, because you can actually taste what you're drinking, whether it's tequila, gin, or whatever.
There you go.
Do you have a top gin, like Mount Rushmore of gin, like Bombay?
Yeah,
I'm not a Bombay guy. It's a little too sweet for me. Tanqueray is up there.
Oh, okay.
Beefeaters is good, but it's not. I wouldn't say it's high up there. Hendrix is a favorite one, but not mine.
What's the part on Kingpin where Bill Murray's sitting at the bar and she goes, another Tanqueray and tab? Yeah, keep them coming, sweets. I got a long drive ahead of me. That movie's so good. There's so many good lines in that movie.
I mean, mostly by Bill Murray. Which supposedly they were all ad-libbed. That's the word, but...
Oh, man. Two pros and a cup of Joe here on Fox Sports Radio. So listen, that was just a well-rounded segment. We started with Newt Rockne's grave being moved and ended up with Lee's drink of choice. So that's how it's done here. If you want to just hand over that Marconi Award now, we'll take it and we'll link you later for it.
This episode is brought to you by Huggies Little Movers. Listen. Huggies knows that babies come in all shapes and sizes, and so do their tushies, especially when they start really moving. Huggies has more curves and outstanding active fit. So no matter what kind of mover you've got, they feel protected and comfy while their little tushy wiggles and jiggles all around. Huggies Little Movers has curves designed to fit all baby curves and helps provide up to 12-hour protection against leaks. So make the switch to Huggies Little Movers today. We got you, baby.
Check engine light on? Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free and provides a report with solutions based on over 650 million vehicle scans verified by ASE certified master technicians. And if you need help, we can recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.